everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 416. Look, using the same piece of paper even. Look out. So, not as interesting a week, but plenty to talk about this week.
Let's see, what was the Friday news? Was there any Friday
news? No, the Friday news was really sedate this week.
I figured they'd give you a break for one.
Yeah, there was it was nothing even noteworthy this week. The Tuesday announcement was where we can get DC Direct and stuff, which was a whatever.
You called that one, though.
Yeah. So, I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Brandon,
Spencer.
So, sorry for the podcast went up so late last week. It was really weird. After I upload it, it has to verify it, and it kept not verifying. And I tried on different computers. I tried at home. It just wouldn't verify, and then Tuesday it verified. I had no idea why, but I kept trying and trying and trying, and it just never worked. So, I apologize. But
you apologize?
I apologized. Yeah, I honestly do not remember what the Friday announcement was.
Was there a Friday announcement?
There was, but it wasn't anything of note.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, short of we're killing off all of our characters to screw you. I don't see, you know, how they could.
We didn't get that yet. But yeah, just every day it's a little something. It's like, But yeah. So I think we're kind of immune to it, like the news is, where it's just kind of, oh, that's all? Okay. Where most days it would be, oh my God, you know.
Well, I don't see a Death Star in this
guy. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what you going to do? So I think they've worn us down now that there's really no other big bombs they can actually drop on us other than saying they're going to stop publishing comics. So the outrage is gone. Now it's just kind of the resigned, ugh.
I gotta wonder though, if I'm DCBS or Midtown, because theoretically they had to ramp up to be able to service DC's customers.
Right.
I can't imagine them doing that without some assurance.
Right.
That
right. No. I get it.
Happen. Unless it was, we're gonna stop except through you directly.
Yeah. Who knows? Just. Whole new world, but yeah, hearing a lot of comparisons to the Heroes World thing, so we'll see how this goes. I actually pulled out my Brian Hibbs book to read his chapters on the Heroes World saga, just to see what all is coming with just the chaos of, you know, multiple distributors.
So it's still 2 weeks away from getting
correct.
Stuff from
yeah, I won't have my first shipment from them until the first week in July. So. Couple weeks away, and though the schedule played out really horribly, where the first week in July, I think July 1st, we're literally going to have no books because it's an off week for Marvel, and then the way they did it, they announced on Friday they were no longer using Diamond, and the idea was that Monday everybody would do the FOC through the new companies.
But the new companies weren't ready.
They didn't give them a heads up. So all of a sudden, every comic store had to apply for a new account through them, and they weren't prepared for that. So they had to kick everything a week. So now we're getting a double shipment the week after. And it's like, oh, okay, that's good planning. So it'll be a thin week on the first. So let's see how it all goes. I'm giddy.
Are you?
Yeah, so their first shipment to every store is going to be a double shipment. So that's going to be great for DCBS and Midtown.
Especially since when's it going to come?
Yeah. Right, and you know, now everybody's going to see their first shipping bill from them, and it's going to be double what it'll probably normally be. So it's just not going to be well received all the way around. So, yeah. You can't plan these things.
Nope. You know, Marvel told us that years ago, and no one believed them, but maybe they're right.
Maybe they're right. You just got to wing it. It's got to throw it against the wall and see what happens. But so I can't really. There was some sexual abuse scandals going through Twitter, but I honestly don't want to get into that. Just I don't know any facts. I don't really know any of the people. I don't see.
All I saw was a bunch of tweets about, like, in response.
Yeah.
Not actual.
Like, yeah, so.
I have no idea what happened.
Having no knowledge,
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Really don't want to get into it, just I don't know enough about it to.
Well, Well, there's other sad news.
It's never good. Denny O'Neil passed, yeah. 81. I got to meet him. He was at Comics for 1 year along with the Hero Initiative, which is the group that raises money for creators in need. And he was there, so that was really neat to meet him. Joe Fellow and Dalian had both taken my Green Lantern, Green Arrow slipcase book and got it signed. One took it to get, I think it was Joe got it signed by Denny O'Neil, and then Dalian got signed by Neil Adams for me. Okay. So that's cool. So I do have a book signed. I did meet him, and I do have a book signed by him. They just didn't happen at the same time. And then also, not that long ago, or maybe a year or so ago, I bought, he was on the Word Balloon podcast and was talking about this book he wrote that was supposed to be a fiction and then eventually basically became autobiographical. So I have that at home. I just need to read it, but I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, no, he, yeah, definitely a big, big player. Did a lot of things, not just the Green Lantern, Green Arrow stuff. He was the one that put Rhodey in the armor in Iron Man. He did a lot of things. He was all over the place. A big, big presence. But
one of the big things they say, he's the guy who got Frank Miller to do, like, hired him to do Daredevil.
Okay.
So
interesting, you know, one of those old guys that work for both companies, too.
Mm-hmm. Hey, paycheck's paycheck.
Right, but just a lot of them only worked at one or the other. You didn't have a lot with it. Had pretty interesting legacy at both.
Because so, what, he was more like an editor and stuff at,
right,
at Marvel,
right,
wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. Hmm. Just trying to think if there was any other news. It's all blur from me right now.
I don't think
losing steam. I feel like I'm burning the candle at both ends right now. So,
be careful, you probably don't want the flame in your bung.
No, but I am taking Sunday off, so yeah, the heads up, I gotta do a post. I'm gonna do a post and an email and everything that I'm gonna be closed on Father's Day. So, not to mess people up, not trying to be mean, but I got Father's Day things to do.
Yeah,
normally Tim would work it, so yeah, that's about it that way. Anybody else have anything to talk about? We had one question, but it won't take a lot.
What's up with our boy not giving us, like, 48?
I know, he even, well, you know what, let me double check the email.
And
he,
you know,
he even liked my asking the question, so.
You know, who would win in a fight between, like, Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben? Yeah. The answer's neither one, because they're both no more.
I was like, are you going there, Pat? Are you really going there, Pat?
Yeah. Well, I think they should change Aunt Jemima's names to Good Effin' Pancakes. Because those are the best ones anyway.
Okay, yeah. Like, we just got an email from DC. It was just, they're offering promotional playing cards with each issue of Batman and the Three Jokers.
Boop, boop.
Yeah.
But you can only get them through DCBS.
They haven't done that. Oh, my Chewy package was delivered. Yay. Poop bags at home.
Another news.
No, I just ran
they're
out.
They're for the dog.
I ran, no, they're for the dog. I just ran out.
You hear that, Marley? Oh, there she goes. She's all set.
You're ready.
I can poop now.
Marley, can we go home? Can we go home now, please? Oh, you guys are so good. You're so good. The only question was, since I know you're a Grell Green Arrow fan, have you ever read his Warlord? Been debating if I should. I read it in the 80s when I was collecting. And I never read it since. I really couldn't tell you much about it. I enjoyed it when I was reading it. It was the Grell stuff, not, I think Juergens took over after he left. But I honestly have no memory really of it, other than I'm sure I liked it because I liked his Green Arrow. I do have an original page Sandy got for me for birthday something 1 year. It's funny because I have it hanging over the toilet in the bathroom, only because the colors match to the frame in the bathroom. But so every time I'm in there, I'm looking at it. And it's funny because in moving, it somehow shifted in the frame, so it's not square anymore. It tilted a little. I don't know how to fix that. Just because it has that black paper on the back, and I really don't want to rip that all off. But I do look at it every time I'm in the bathroom. But no, I don't. I'm sure it's good, but I've never read it. I don't know if they've ever really collected the old stuff. Did they do an essential or not essential? What'd they call them?
Showcase.
I don't remember if they did a showcase or not. But, yeah, I'd say give it a shot. But I really don't remember. That was a long, you know, it was 40 years ago. My memory isn't that good. Can't remember what I did yesterday. No, I remember what I did yesterday. Okay, good. 2 days ago? Mm. So, breezing along, Pat.
Yes.
What do you read?
I read books.
I only read two, so.
Oh, man.
And one I don't, I kind of gave up on halfway, so.
Did you read Batman?
I read Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, maybe I read three
then. Batman 92?
Yeah, Batman
92.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, because yeah. There was like
there were 18 Batman books, yeah.
Almost everything I read was Batman.
Yeah. Batman. Oh, I read three. Well, two and a half.
All right.
There you go.
So, I already read two from today, so. Head start.
Batman 92.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was
really good.
This has been good. 93 is next week, so.
Oh, so they are back on schedule.
Yeah, they are back on schedule.
Woo!
But yeah, no, I thought it was real good. Really? Even punchline didn't annoy me. You know, it worked.
Yeah, and
hi, baby.
Yeah, because that with Harley could have gotten annoying real quick, yeah. and it didn't. But yeah, it was good, and you know, obviously the designer knows who Bruce is and is waiting for him in the study now.
We also got to see the Bat Train.
Yeah. Because why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have those types of things. Yeah, the Bat Copter, the Bat Boat.
Batawang.
Well, we've already seen the Batawang.
I just like through the whole ordeal of Batman solving this huge crossroad puzzle in his head as he's doing all this stuff.
I did have one problem with that, though.
What's that?
Because one of the answers was, I don't know, whatever it was, and then when he went to answer the next one, he asked for, do I have any letters? And he said, yes, the third letter's a T, but then the word started with T in the answer, whatever the answer was. I remember going, that doesn't make sense. So, I was a little surprised nobody
caught
that.
Without writing it all out, I'll just go with yes.
But I thought he had it down.
And it was a cross.
And then it was a cross. So it started with...
Well, he said the third letter in the word is a T.
Oh, I can't... I don't...
Yeah.
I didn't read it that closely.
Okay, just... I didn't, and I'm just like, well, wait, that doesn't make sense. So just... Unless maybe I read it wrong, but...
Yeah, I
just remember at the time going, hmm?
Yeah. But if you're a big crossword fan, I pick up this issue.
Yeah.
Next thing I read was the Joker 80th anniversary special.
I read that.
So it was hit and miss.
I sold out. I didn't have a chance to read it.
But we got a little more Punchline's background. So we know her name is Alexis. And we know she's college age, or she's in college. Presumably still staying in the dorm. And, you know, she's basically the Joker's number one fan, and she proved her loyalty by gassing the, I guess he's the school counselor or whatever.
Yeah, wasn't she calling him Dean Bob or something?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. But, so I have to say, this is the worst origin I think I've ever read. I can't think of a worse one.
I didn't really see that as her origin as much as it was just she revealed herself to him. But she said, you know, she made it sound like she'd been testing this stuff for a while. The other problem I have was she gassed him because she was smoking and then blew the smoke in his face, and that's what caused him to, you know, basically succumb to the gas. Mm-hmm. That would have to have an effect on her, too. I mean, there's no way around that. But I thought it was fine.
I thought it was lame.
Yeah.
Because I took that more as, like, Joker has a lot of people approach him about being, you know...
The next Harley Quinn?
Yeah, the next Harley Quinn or, like, a henchman. And he puts them through some kind of test, so she had to, like... You know, she had to make the laughing gas herself, and you know, and then use it. So,
Yeah, but know. You know, when it's your typical, you know, Hydra Bob type guy, he'll just kill him off. But you know, when it's a Foxy Lady, he tends to listen to him a little bit. But the best story in that was when Batman died, because it, you know, Joker kind of laments throughout the thing, and then has to, you know, well, what do I do now? He was the only adversary that I ever respected, and you know, how do I continue to make the world suffer? So he goes work for the DMV.
other than the gag, like,
that's why I like it. It was the gag at the end. I was like, yeah, okay,
just one gag, because that is a good page. That is a good reveal, but it is, I don't know. I thought that was kind of like an easy joke. But
that's kind of Joker's thing, easy joke that should get more laughs than what it, you know, than what it actually does.
Yeah, but I think the one I liked the best was the one with the kid that was...
That was good, too. Yeah.
It was drawn by...
Lee Bermejo.
No. It was the guy who did 100 Bullets.
Eduardo Risso.
Eduardo Risso, thank you.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
So the Joker comes across this kid who's like just sitting on like the stoop, and the kid is tearing the limbs off of bugs and putting them in the box. And he has a conversation with the Joker, like, you know, why are you doing that? And he's like, well, you know, do you kill them or something like that? And he's like, no, well, I don't kill them because, you know, if they don't try to get out of the box, I don't need to kill them. So, like, the Joker kind of, like, forms this bond with this weird, you know, kind of sadistic kid.
And it's his birthday, and no one will come to his party.
Yeah, no one's come to his party, so the Joker, like, goes around the neighborhood and, like, threatens everyone. I'm like, you have to go to this kid's party, you have to, you know, wrap up your favorite present and give it to him. You need to have, you know, make decorations, and if they're not, what did he say? If they're not festive enough or something like that. You know, and so they go back and they have this party with all these neighbors who were basically at gunpoint, and the kid's father finally comes home, and he was a henchman who didn't follow through with was probably like a bank robbery or something. Yeah. I think. So the Joker's there, basically, really to kill him, but because he liked the kid so much that he doesn't kill the kid's dad. He instead just cuts pieces off of him. So he, like, removes some figures except for his trigger finger. And
he did exactly what the kid said.
Yeah, he did exactly
what the kid said. As long as you don't get out the box, I won't have to kill you.
Yeah, so I think that one was the best one. Plus, I really like that art style. It's a little... It looks like the Joker in 100 Bullets. Like, it's very specific. But, I think that one was my favorite. I'm trying to remember, were there any other ones that were...
Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo did a story, too, but I forget which one that one was. I think it was, like, six stories in there. It was, like, five or six. Yeah. I enjoyed it for the most part. Yeah, I know you didn't like the punchline thing.
I bought it for the punchline thing.
Okay.
I was going to skip that, except it had the punchline thing in it, and I'm a sucker. So, so I was a little disappointed, because I thought it would be something more. But she's basically an immature college kid, so.
Yeah. And the last one I'll talk about is Batman Secret Files. Not a whole lot, except for it goes back and it shows... in the Batman story we're reading now, Deathstroke is basically there just to keep Batman off balance. Well, we see the Joker and Punchline go to hire... Deathstroke, and at first he's like, nah, that ain't gonna happen, and then they kind of work through their plan, and you know, he's in. So it sets up where, you know, you think it's the designer behind this, it actually seems to be the Joker behind it. So, and the Joker knows that it's Bruce Wayne because he tells Deathstroke that Bruce Wayne is Batman. So, now he knows too. That's it.
Let's see. I read, I think it's Batman, The Adventures Continue. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
Number one. That was pretty good. It's a self-contained story. I'm sure it's a part one of six, so I'm sure it's going to have some continuing threads. But basically, Batman takes on this giant robot. Did anybody else read this?
I read it.
Okay. Yeah, so Batman takes on this giant robot, and he's trying to figure out kind of, because it has this power source that it doesn't let off any, like, combustion kind of thing. So he has this, he fights this robot, it gets away, it steals some alien tech, which later we learn is, like, it's Brainiac's head, it's, like, broken head. We learned that Luthor is behind this, but Superman didn't stop him because Superman has gone missing. He, like, went to the moon and vanished or something like that.
That's what Lex says, at least.
Yeah, that's what Lex says. And so Batman, he's trying to figure out this robot. He looks in, I think Alfred says to him, like, hey, it has two cockpits, right? And he realizes, oh, that's not a cockpit, that's the battery pack. And so he goes and he shoots the robot with, like, a kryptonite weapon, and Superman bursts out. Lex had been using Superman basically as, like, a solar-powered battery for this giant mech. It looks like the mech from Iron Giant. I think that's what it reminded me of. It's a very, like, old-timey robot. But this is pretty good. It felt like it could have been, like, an animated series, like the later ones where they, you know, Superman's in the world. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Good, and it looks like they're introducing Deathstroke.
Yeah.
To this, and he's making his way to Gotham City at the end. There.
Was he in the cartoon?
I don't think so.
But I think that's kind of like the one of the points of this, like, series, yeah, is to, like, introduce a lot of characters that wasn't in the animated series. Yeah. Because I think I saw stuff like Red Hood was, like, pajamas of red, like, Red Hood floating around and stuff like that, so...
I know he puts on, like, what I would call the Dark Knight suit.
But the heavy suit
to fight the robot. I forgot to mention that. But, yeah, so he puts on that mech suit, and it very much looks like the Dark Knight suit.
They're probably just doing this series so those toys can make more
sense. That's exactly what I was going to say, because that's one of the toys that's coming out. Some of those are redos on ones that the DC Collectibles has already put out.
Some are redos. With a different head and...
Yeah. So, which is good, because if you miss those ones originally... But
so they're going to do the Batman that laughs in that style.
Yeah, which I wonder, will they put the Batman who laughs in this series because of that? I don't know. I feel like you could do any character in that series, though. In fact, I follow a guy on Twitter who,
because there were a ton. I remember when it was coming out, you had Creeper and Demon and all those. You know.
But they were all in the series. I don't know how well the Batman who laughs fits in with that style.
I don't know, the action figure, at least in previews, looked pretty good.
No, I don't mean that way, but I mean, even in the darkest of episodes,
right?
I don't think it touched anywhere near where he go. I mean, the darkest episode was the one probably where Batgirl got gassed and thought that Commissioner Gordon, you know, found out who Batman was, and you know, at the end they both died. That's probably the darkest that series went, and that's still not really Batman Who Laughs level.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's worldwide genocide.
Yeah.
Really universal genocide, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, what else did I read? I read Lois Lane number 11. Anybody else read that?
Yeah, I read that.
Okay. Trying to remember what happened. She... Because I was a couple of issues behind. So this is the aftermath of her teleporting the what's the witch's name? Do you remember
Jessica that? Midnight.
Yeah, Jessica Midnight. In the previous issue, at the end of it, she teleported the Kiss of Death lady, mm-hmm. and the nun. She's like switched places, and as a result of that, like she switched them at just the right time so that. The question, Renee Montoya got shot with a bullet, and this was just kind of the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else about the plot?
It wasn't very plot heavy at all.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was very much. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I could add more, but I can't. I'm
sorry. This one's wrapping up. This series has been. Like, it's not what I thought it was. Because at the beginning, I thought it was going to be more of a... Like a... more of just like a... Like, Lois being sort of a detective, almost.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's kind of evolved into this weird, like, you know... redemption of Midnight. And, you know, just kind of... I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of occult stuff. I don't know. Were you here when I talked about like the previous issue? They did the thing where he explained like the multiverse.
Yeah, yeah, I listened to that, but I hadn't read that issue, so I was like I half paid attention, so I wouldn't be spoiled.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were here or not. Or...
Yeah. So this is a good series. There's only one issue left. So
it's really good. I mean, I love when Greg Rucka writes these kind of characters. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it from it. Light week.
Justice League. So last issue ended with the Justice League. They were surrounded by all the Amazons on Themyscira because Wonder Woman was trying to sneak them in because that's where Jim Corgan is somewhere on that island, so the Spectre's not like in, you know, isn't bonded with him, so that's kind of why like everybody in the previous issue was fighting each other because he like the vengeance was just there, it's just kind of spreading. So then that same thing happens to all the Amazon women, and they start firing them and. They did it really cool because like they let Wonder Woman, she was the one kind of barking out orders on how to like you know like she's like the first thing they do there's gonna be archers in the tree, Batman go take you know go handle that and he shoots off you know is like handled you know and just like how and like that different kind of stuff. So they eventually escape and they're getting ready to run to the cave. Where the doorway to where, you know, he's at is hidden. But then they notice that with them gone, the Amazons started to turn on each other. So, Jon Stewart stayed behind to fight them, to give them something, so they wasn't fighting each other, you know, and killing each other. He gave them something to fight because he... Literally just made like a whole, you know, Green Lantern corpse, you know, out of the ring, out of his ring to, you know, to fight him, which was a pretty cool scene. And then so they get in there and all the Amazons that were guarding it are dead, and so Wonder Woman's mad, and all the guys are trying to move the big boulder that you know is blocking the patches away, and she just comes up and just grabs it and. Just picks it up herself and throw it, and they go in there and they find Corgan, but he was wrong. Like the reason he wanted to go there was because he was just tired of being around. He wanted to just finally like move on, and he thought doing that he would. But it turns out that he gets stuck there because, like, the first ruler of Hades is there now, and that's, like, who the Justice League are getting ready to fight now in the next issue. Nightwing.
I read that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's a loose tie-in to the Joker War, but basically, Rick and his girlfriend sit in the bar. He hears a police alarm going off, you know. So he goes to check to see what's going on. There's some prisoner who has these horns.
Tusk, he
escaped. So Nightwing's trying to fight him. We're not Nightwing, but...
Whatever he is.
Yeah. The cabbie or whatever he's going by now. He's fighting him. He's getting beat up pretty good, and he finds a Joker's card, like, in the tire of the truck that was moving the prisoner. So, and, like, it's, you know, with it being a Joker's card, it's all super sharp, so, like, he uses that to, like... It looks like he cuts out his eye, but I don't, like... I think he just, like, cuts above it or something, you know, but because he does it to both of his eyes, but it almost looks like he just gouges his eyes out with it, with the thing, but, so after, this is going on, the Joker who has, who got possession of, like, the Mind Stone thing that the, Court of Owls lady used to implant these new memories into Dick's head, he has that now, and he goes down to the bar, and, you know, he's starting to threaten his girlfriend, and that he shows up, and he's able to get her to leave, and basically the thing ends with him, like,
basically hypnotized.
Yeah, hypnotized, I can't think of the word. So now the Joker's gonna give him... his version of his history, so that should be pretty interesting. And then the last one I'm going to do is The Flash. So this issue, it's The Flash, Reverse Flash, and Godspeed all against Paradox. Trying to figure out a way to stop him before he completely, like, erases all of reality. And of course, Reverse Flash's solution is to just go back in time, kill him before he becomes Paradox. Everything's solved, and because he's the only one because the Flash has lost the ability to travel back in time without a cosmic treadmill, so it has to be Reverse Flash that goes back. And after, you know, a little bit of arguing, he gets him to go back, and he doesn't kill him. He's like, he like freezes him in time or something, just enough to stop the thing that happened, to turn him into Paradox. You know, doesn't happen. And, like, the Paradox monster, like, slowly just kind of evaporates. And then, the three of them are able to go back, but using, like, the negative speed force and the regular speed force, they were able to, like, go and travel back to the present with them. And, so it seems like, you know, like, Reverse Flash is actually might be doing okay. You know, he might not be as much as a bad guy, but, while they were talking, you know, he's always bragging about, like, how he's a master at time travel. And this issue opened, I can't remember if it was this issue or a previous issue, it opened up with, like, all the different times of him dying and coming back and, like, and how that worked, which was pretty cool. But so Godspeed asked him, if you, you know, travel this time, do you know who killed my brother? Because that's one of, like, the original kind of mysteries in the beginning of this run, like, who killed God, you know, August, Godspeed's brother. And Ibarathon was like, it was me, and immediately just... runs behind him and just snaps his neck and gets ready to take off, and the Flash is, you know, is in shock, and the issue ends with Reverse Flash saying that he's off to start his own Reverse Flash family, which I thought was pretty cool because I don't ever remember them seeing that, doing that in any of the Flash books. So the Reverse Flash is going to have his own his own family of reverse flashes. So, and then that was it.
What else you got, Dave? Talk about all your stuff. I only have two, one and a half.
Yeah, I have three more. Adventure Man.
That's my half.
Number one.
I love the first half where it was telling their story. It was Adventure Man and his cronies battle against the bad guys, and it ends very poorly. He's captured by the bad guy who has a gun to his head, and then that's the last story ever told. And the mom's reading, or the son's reading with mom there, and she's like, well, that's the way it is. And pretty much after that, I lost focus on it, because it just became talky. I was tired, and it was just, I got very confused, because apparently she's deaf, but has hearing aids. And it was just very weird, because she's sitting there, and it's showing all this noise that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell if it was by... Yeah, I got very confused at that point, and then just kind of kept reading. And then there was like a family dinner, and it was just a lot of talking.
With her five sisters. And then she owns a rare bookstore. And then the mysterious woman comes in with an Adventure Man book. She's never seen before. But... I liked it more than you did.
Especially when it was, I lied to this person, and it gave a little synopsis of that person. Yeah. I lied to this, and I was tired. I fully admit that, but I really liked the first part. It was neat, great characters. You got a good sense of what the characters' powers and what the people were about. I really liked that, but then after that, I just kind of I lost steam.
Yeah, the art was just gorgeous.
By Terry Dodson art. Yeah. And that was written by Fraction.
Yeah, not Fraction.
But so it basically looks like it's going to be the continuing story from this that ended. You know, it was definitely like a 40s.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes and how these two worlds come together or what he does with this, because I'm not exactly sure, you know, what's going to happen. Ice Cream Man.
That was an awesome cover.
Number 19.
To that.
Yeah, it's... He finds a different way to tell a story in every issue of the series, and this issue is called Haunting for Beginners, and it's done in the style of an instruction guide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like six panel, so it looks like an instruction guide. There's like six panel grid, you know, on each page, but the story being told is about a kid. Three different parts of his life. In the first part, he's a young kid. He goes around, he's pretending to be a ghost, and he goes around his town with a sheet over his head, and he witnesses a suicide. Guy jumping off a bridge. And then we flash forward a little bit till he's 39, and he's, like, haunted by this, what he saw, and then flash forward to when he's an old man dying of cancer. So it's a sad story, but it's kind of uplifting in the end because they're using this ghost motif to tell a story about this guy who's totally disconnected from the world, you know, his entire life. And the third one I read was Old Haunts.
Okay. That was another AWA book.
New AWA series. It's about three mobsters who want to get out of the business, and they're trying to convince... The two of them are trying to convince the other guy that now is the right time to get out. They're in Los Angeles. And then the horror element starts, where there's this vulture creature and it kind of attacks them when they're in their car. This issue is, you don't really have a lot explained. They know where all the bodies are buried. They buried a lot of bodies in their life, but they don't really go into detail, and hopefully that all will come out in the next four issues. But it's very cinematic, you know, the art style was great. These long panels, like in the Ultimates or something. And we'll see where it goes, but it had a lot of promise to it, I thought.
Cool.
And that's it.
Okay, and then I just read one more, which was Daredevil, which has been excellent.
I read that too.
This is part two of this little interlude story, where basically this brother and sister who are running things have kind of almost teamed up with the Owl and are basically got was it the Rhino and Bullseye and Stiltman and was it Crossbones?
Crossbones
are
yeah.
basically just laying waste to Hell's Kitchen. They've turned off, like, there's no cell service. The police aren't responding. They're basically fending for themselves. And it's Matt just really decides, you know what, I'm Daredevil. And he's gone back and fully embraced it. So he's fighting to save the city. The cop that he's been kind of feuding with is helping. And at the end of last issue, it turned out that this nun that he's been talking to at this church is actually Typhoid Mary. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the Kingpin had hidden her away there because he knew that she was there.
Yeah.
But she kind of becomes an ally for them. And it's just a big knockdown, blowout fight to save Hell's Kitchen. And then the Kingpin shows up and is kind of the final straw of helping them. You know, he's like, you don't do this to my city, and took everybody down. So it was interesting. He's the mayor still, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just, I thought it was really good. And at the end,
it was really good.
One policeman or somebody tells the detective, Kingpin tells the detective to arrest Daredevil for the death of some guy who he had killed. And Daredevil, and the policeman's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Because he was fighting a war on the superheroes as being reckless and everything, but he kind of realizes now that they're needed and that they need to operate in anonymity and all that. And he says he won't do it, but then Matt says, no, I have to be judged for my crime. So we'll see where that goes. But it's been excellent. I expected, not what I expected out of Chip Zdarsky at all. Marco Cicchetto art was outstanding.
Yeah.
It's been really, really, really good. I'm very impressed.
I was so impressed with that fight with the Stilt Man.
Yeah, yeah.
To make him a formidable villain.
Yep, even the way he took down the Rhino, you know, just really, really cool. But it was neat. He sent Typhoid Mary to see if the Rhino could swim and had her leading him to the river, and she comes running back going, yep, he can swim, and he's coming back. So it was kind of funny. Almost a Harley-esque kind of turn, she predated Harley anyway, so. But just interesting to see some old characters like that. I really, really enjoyed that.
It was really good.
So that was good. So.
Well, Colin, what's coming out next
Man,
week?
You drew that out, Pat. Okay, it is a Marvel
like
week, so that's
talk,
good.
Sorry.
No, another Marvel's back. I did like this first graphic novel that's coming. It's Apocalypse Taco. Not sure exactly what that is, but hey. Dave Archie and Friends Geeks and Games is next week.
All
right. Ash and Thorn, number one. This is from Ahoy. This is, I think, like these two old ladies are here. They have to save the world. They're like the last of this bloodline.
It's not digital only, at least.
No. Oh, still disappointed. Still disappointed. Like, yesterday was Dragonfly Man Day, and I was just like, I just wasn't in the mood to celebrate. Batman 93 is next week. Batman the Smile Killer, which is a coda to the Joker Killer Smile. Bleed Them Dry. This is from Vault. Not sure exactly what it is, and it's weird I'm only getting the B cover, but I guess everything is getting fixed up. Captain America, Marvel's Snapshot, of those Snapshot books they've been doing. Dead Body Road.
It's by Mark Russell, too.
Oh, cool.
The Captain America.
Dead Body Road, Bad Blood. This is a sequel to the Dead Body Road by Justin Jordan from Image. Empire Avengers is coming. We're slowly getting into that thing. The Green Lantern 80th Anniversary Special is next week as well. Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, number 2. That's from the Black Mask, or Black Label line. Iron Man 2020, number 4. We'll wrap that story up. Hellblazer, number 7. I'm looking forward to that. That last issue was outstanding. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, number 50. Dun, dun, dun. So big 50. Previews. New previews is next week. Sleeping Beauties. This is the one based on the Stephen and Owen King novel that they're adapting as a comic. This is coming from IDW. Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 3. The first two have sold really well. That Texas Blood is a new one from Image, and I believe this is by Sean Phillips. Like, he's writing and drawing this one. Thor number 5 is coming. Transformers versus Terminator 2. That one's been good. And that's it. I mean, lots of stuff, but those are the notables. But a much bigger week than this week, so we're getting ramped back up. So this will be good. Then the following week will be just about nothing. Yay! And then we'll hopefully be back in the groove in July when Marvel's back to doing books every week instead of every other.
But even at that, aren't their lines? Is their line still going to be cut down?
I think they cut down. We're not getting as many of the little books. A lot of those were kind of ended digitally, so that's okay. So yeah, so that's all we got. We'll get more stuff read. Last week was still big. We're coming, Marley. I'm coming. So yeah, no plans on book club. I'm doing vault this month. You can look at the little vault display I set up. Dave.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.